Good morning to each of you as we come on this 19th Sunday after Pentecost. We welcome you to this time of worship, and we also welcome members from the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church of Indianapolis, Indiana, some of whom are joining us in worship this morning. For those of you who would wish to have your Bibles open when we come to the time of the scripture lesson. The scripture is Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Our call to worship comes from Romans chapter 10. Let us be called into worship. The word is near to you, on your lips and in your heart. If we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let us worship God. Our opening hymn, God is Here, verses 1 and 4. Scripture lesson will be read this morning by Mrs. Nell Standy, Presbyterian Church of Teaneck, Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Stanley. A comedian said he was in a shoe store recently trying on a new pair of sneakers. He said to the sales clerk, It's too tight. She said, Try it with the tongue out. He said, It feels no good. It feels too tight. It's no good. It's still too tight. That was a corny joke. Sometimes I can't resist a little joke like that. If you're into fashion or social media, then you probably know that the market for sneakers and athletic shoes is huge. In 2017, the global sneaker market reached $62.8 billion. Sneakers make a major fashion statement these days, it seems. The most fashionable sneakers, of course, are the ones that are designed by or for athletes or celebrities. Selena Gomez, Led Zeppelin, Serena Williams are among notable figures who have helped to design high-end sneakers to appeal to their fan base. But maybe you didn't hear of the sneakers that came out in 2019 that were designed for the ultimate celebrity of all, Jesus, Son of God. You heard me right. Last year, a pair of designers created a whole different kind of fashion statement when they bought a pair of Nike Air Max 97s and redesigned them as Jesus shoes. The Jesus shoes came with little golden crucifixes hanging from the laces and pockets of holy water from the Jordan River that had been prayed over by a priest. The designers claim that they had made the shoes to mock the idea of shoe companies partnering with celebrities. They thought, well, who's a bigger celebrity than Jesus? So we'll make Jesus shoes. Daniel Greenberg, one of the designers behind the Jesus shoes, said, we asked ourselves, what would a shoe collaboration with Jesus look like? Obviously, it should let you walk on water. Well, how can we do that? They asked. You pump holy water into the pocket of a pair of Air Max 97s, and with that, you get Jesus shoes. The holiest collaboration ever. Believe it or not, the Jesus shoes sold for $1,425. If we were in the building right now, I could probably instruct everyone to close their Bibles and go home at this point, right? Now that we know that the secret to walking on water, we could sing our final hymn and beat the Baptist to lunch. Just kidding, of course. But if that's all it took to walk on water, then we just have to collect some dollars and get our own Jesus shoes. Our text for today is about Peter trying and ultimately failing to walk on water. But it's about so much more than that, because the most important thing to notice in this morning's Bible passage isn't that Jesus walked on water or that Peter took at least a few baby steps on the Sea of Galilee. The important thing to notice in that passage that was read is that Peter got out of the boat in the first place. Peter trying to walk on water is a perfect image of what it means to become a follower of Christ. It's the perfect image of what it means to commit your life to Christ. Notice that all the disciples were in the boat, but only Peter took that step of faith to go to Jesus. Now, people come to Jesus and worship for a lot of different reasons. I hope everyone experiences the presence of God and find what they are looking for whenever they are in worship. Some may go to worship mainly to appease a family member. You grew up in the church and you know that you are expected to be at church and in worship. Some go out of curiosity or a feeling of guilt. Some go to worship in order to incorporate worship in their lives because they want to raise their children with Christian principles. Or some may just go looking for friendship or hope or comfort. All good reasons. But just going to church isn't going to answer your questions or heal your hurts or change your life. I don't know if many of you remember back in the old days, but it used to be said that the perfect place to find a spouse would be to go to church. I had a relative, I won't name him, who took that principle to heart. And so whenever he was looking for a new companion, he would make sure to go and start looking around the church. The only problem with that is, whereas he got a good bargain out of the deal, the person that he hooked up with ended up being corrupted because he really wasn't serious about what he was doing. So he got the good partner and then messed her up. But whatever reasons, noble reasons, let's say, that take us to worship and take us to investigate following Christ, they're all good reasons. But again, just going to church isn't going to answer your questions or heal your hurts or change your life. Committing your life to serving Jesus, on the other hand, will make a difference, a real difference in how you experience life. Again, I pray that every time you worship, it brings you closer to the Master. That's what we're all really looking for, even if we're not aware of it. That's what Peter was looking for too. When we read Matthew 14, 22 through 29, can we see that Peter learned as he tried to walk on Jesus or walk on the water in order to get to Jesus? Hear these words. Immediately, Jesus made the disciple get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they say, and cried out in fear. We, like the disciples, sometimes want to cry out in fear. We live in an embattled time. Conflicts in politics, problems with economics, tensions in racial relations, people who do senseless acts of violence, who think nothing of taking another's life, a global pandemic, unemployment, and possible loss of housing. All these things have put the icing on the proverbial cake of usual and unusual issues. Most of us already feel that we are drowning in problems. Now we've entered into hurricane season on top of all that. And some folks haven't had electricity since the storm hit us on Tuesday. How much more can we take? How much longer can we last? Let's face it, we are a tired, fatigued, tense, and nervous bunch right now. Just when we think we've ridden the final wave, another rises up and heads right toward us. What shall we do? The disciples cried out in fear, but Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." You know, Peter always had to have something to say. "Come," Jesus said. The first thing we can learn from Peter's story is to come to Jesus, even if we've got unanswered questions. If you are holding off on making that decision to follow Jesus until you read that one article or you sit in that one discussion that answers all your questions about the life of faith, then you will never get out of the boat. It's never going to happen. You see, nobody has all the answers. Jerry Kramer is a former football player with the Green Bay Packers under legendary coach Vince Lombardi. Jerry Kramer has written a couple of books about his life and the Packers and his life as a sports commentator afterwards. In his book, Distant Replay, Kramer reflected on his own mortality. He confessed that even though at the time of writing of this book, he was in the best of health, he thought about death a lot. Kramer reveals that when his father died, it hit him really hard, that it was hard on the whole family. Kramer writes, "I think his death was more difficult for the family than it was for my father. Dad was a very religious man and he was ready to go. He had his faith and he said he was locked in the arms of the Lord." Kramer writes, "Sometimes I wish I had that kind of faith, but I don't. I just have questions." We can respect Jerry Kramer's honesty. It's good to confront and wrestle with those questions of faith. You see, an unexamined, untested faith can't stand up to the storms of life. The truth is that Jesus left his disciples behind with unanswered questions, and he did it deliberately. He wanted us to trust him with our lives without absolute proof of his existence. He wanted to draw us to God with love, not compel us by force or fear. He wanted us to have the free will to choose to follow him or not. He wanted us to step out on faith. What do we know about faith? What does scripture say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let me tell you about a man named John C. Wright. Wright is a former lawyer and an award-winning science fiction writer. At one time, he was also a committed atheist. Now, when I read that term, committed atheist, I said, "What is that? Sounds like an oxymoron. Either you're an atheist or you're not." But a committed atheist, my understanding is someone who actively, who doesn't just do it apathetically, but actively fights against the forces of religion and argues against faith and belief. John was an active and committed atheist. But one day, in the midst of wrestling with some questions and doubts, he prayed a really honest prayer. Listen to this. He prayed, "Dear God, I know that you do not exist. Nonetheless, as a scholar, I am forced to entertain the hypothetical possibility that I am mistaken." Now, it sounds like a scientist with humility. John C. Wright went on to ask God to reveal himself to him in some way. He decided that if the prayer went unanswered, then he could safely assume God didn't exist, or at least God didn't care enough to reveal himself. If the prayer went unanswered, all he would lose was a little bit of his dignity. He decided if the prayer was answered, all the world would open up to him in a new kind of way. Well, you know what happened, don't you? Soon afterwards, God did answer John C. Wright's prayer. As Wright explains it, something from beyond the reach of time and space, more fundamental than reality, reached across the universe and broke into my soul and changed me. I was altered down to the root of my being. It was like falling in love. John C. Wright's prayer sounds to me like Peter's failed experiment in water walking. Wright wasn't even sure God existed, but he was willing to move forward in spite of his question. And in that tiny act of faith, Wright met God and found new life. The first thing we can learn from Peter's story is to come to Jesus, even if we've got unanswered questions. The second thing we can learn from Peter's story is to come to Jesus even if we're in the middle of the storm. Notice that this scene takes place in the middle of a storm. Matthew says the boat was buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. It would be remarkable for Peter to try to walk on the waves if the sea was calm that day. But to do it in the middle of a storm was even more remarkable. Life has its storms, doesn't it? I just mentioned some of the current storms that all of us are experiencing. How do you respond to a storm? The other 11 disciples took shelter in the boat. Only Peter believed that it was better to brave the storm with Jesus than to stay in the boat without him. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe. It's the largest waterfall in the world. The rushing waters of Victoria Falls feeds the huge rapids of the Zambezi River. Author and speaker Palmer Chinchin tells of a rafting excursion in the Zambezi River with his brothers. It was a scary undertaking. As the men prepared to set off into the rapids, their river guide gave them some last-minute instructions that were a bit unnerving and disconcerting. He began with these words: "When the raft flips," notice he didn't say "if the raft flips," he said, "when the raft flips, stay in the rough waters in the middle of the river." Why did he instruct them to stay in the rough waters in the middle of the river? Because, he said, the still, stagnant waters on the edge of the river that looked so calm and safe, in reality, were filled with crocodiles. Wow. I believe that a warning like that would keep me in the middle of the river, or out of the river altogether. I'm reminded of a boat ride that I took in Trinidad, a little waterway excursion. First of all, I thought we were going to take a little luxury boat, and it ended up being a rowboat with a motor. I thought we were going to have little, you know, drinks with little umbrellas on them. We had cans of Coca-Cola in a cooler, the water cooler in the back of the boat. But anyway, besides all that, let me not detract. But on this water excursion, as we looked over, we saw crocodiles sunning themselves on the side. And the sight of those crocodiles scared me to death. What if they jumped off? What if they saw us? What if they came? But reading about this excursion on the Zambezi River and what that river guide told them, I realized that we were safe because the guy who was running the boat that we were in, was in the middle of the water, away from the calm, stagnant place where the crocodiles were sunning themselves. Palmer made the point that God calls the church out beyond our comfort zone of still, stagnant waters. God calls us to follow him into the churning rapids and stormy waters of the world's needs to make a difference with our lives. Now, many of us wait, like the 11 disciples. We wait to make a decision about how seriously we take the call to follow Jesus. We decide to wait until we're older. We wait until we have our kids. We'll wait until we get our heads straight. We'll wait until we're not so busy. We'll wait until we feel a little more worthy, or until we get our spiritual act together, or until the storms of our lives passes. That's when we'll make a decision about Jesus. When things aren't so crazy or chaotic, or when we're not needing to focus so much on self. There's an old hymn entitled, "Come Ye Sinners Poor and Needy." And there are some words in that hymn that jump out at me. One of the verses says, "Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms." You see, here's the problem. There will always be storms. No matter what your friends post on Instagram or Facebook, many of them are experiencing their own storms right now. That fact will never change. There will always be storms. But if Jesus really is the Son of God, if Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life, then isn't the purpose of our life found in facing our storms with him? So don't let unanswered questions stand between you and Jesus. That's what faith is about, the evidence of things not seen. Don't let the storms of life stand between you and Jesus, because there is something after the storms. And then the final thing we can learn from Peter's story is to not let anything, nothing, nada, stand between ourselves and Jesus. Notice that Peter almost made it. He took the first few baby steps, and then he let fear and circumstances overwhelm him. Now, we can't badmouth Peter, because we do the same thing. We start to get out of the boat, but then doubt intercedes. Or we're afraid of looking foolish. Or we let our busy schedule interfere. What would Peter have experienced if he had made it all the way to Jesus? Imagine the abundant life that he could have begun experiencing that very moment if he had really trusted Jesus. Certainly, he would never have denied Christ after Jesus was arrested prior to his crucifixion. If Peter had completed that walk right then, he might have been a different person later. Think for a moment. What does Jesus have in store for you if you commit your whole life completely to him? What's holding you back? Arthur Vince Vattel tells of sharing his faith with a man named Joe, who had been diagnosed with a brain tumor. Joe was struggling mightily with this diagnosis, as you might imagine. Joe confessed to Vince that he always believed in God, but he didn't think his life was good enough to earn his way into heaven. And he was afraid that God would reject him. He believed he didn't have the right connection to get through heaven's door. He couldn't pay the price of admission, he said. Vince Vattel writes that he was able to share with Joe that the message of Christianity is that what makes us right with God has nothing to do with anything we do or could ever do, but rather what Jesus has already done. What Jesus has already done once and in full. And for all, he explained that if we trust in Jesus Christ, we no longer need to fear judgment. Because on the cross, Jesus has already taken the judgment for everything we have ever done or will ever do wrong. When Vince had finished explaining his amazing truth to Joe, Joe thought about what he had said all night long. And it gave him a new understanding. The next day, when his family asked him how he was doing, remember Joe had this brain tumor, he said, "Wonderful. Now I'm actually looking forward to what's next." The change in Joe's attitude was so remarkable that his family called Vince and asked him to repeat the whole conversation to them. What did you say to our father? They wanted to know what could have given their father such peace and joy in the midst of his pain. It helped Joe that Vince could help him with some of the basic questions about our faith. The truth is that Jesus could have answered our every question about God and life and death and suffering, but he didn't. He could have calmed every storm and prevented his disciples' fear in the first place, but he didn't. He could have held Peter's hand and let him do a little dance across the Sea of Galilee, but he didn't. He didn't make it easy for Peter then, and he doesn't make it easy for us now. But there's a reason for that. You see, faith requires trust. And love requires sacrifice. Every great relationship is built on trust and love. And that's what God wants with you, a relationship. God is doing God's part. He came in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, to show us the quality of his life. Now it's time for us to do our part and not let anything, nothing, nada, stand between us and Jesus. Finally, let me say that every faith journey, no matter how rocky, begins with getting out of the boat and taking steps of faith toward Jesus. You see, in the middle of our storms, when we aren't sure if Jesus is coming toward us, or not. When we want to leave the boat and go to him, but we notice the strong wind and we fear sinking in the raging storm of life, we must look beyond the storms. It's then that we must look beyond the turbulent times of broken relationships, beyond those times of those moments of faith versus the months of enduring doubts. We must set our eyes on the end of the story. We must look beyond the plagues and the pandemics, the hurricanes and the devastation, and look toward experiencing the joyful relationship with our Lord that awaits us. Are you ready to take that step? First, you gotta get out of the boat. Even if it's just those little baby steps, like Peter's. Never forget the end of the story. After our times of social distancing and our masked faces and our present times of storm, Jesus is waiting, offering a peace that surpasses understanding. Even our small steps of faith lead to a Savior who is waiting for you. Let the people of God say, Amen. We take this time now, this opportunity to share good news, sad news, joys, and concerns. As we've done in the last couple of weeks, we won't call our elders out by name, but we will ask if there are any joys or concerns that you wish to share.
One concern, Pastor Tate, is that my cousin, Edgar Jr. Gregg, he lived in Connecticut, and then his son took him to Tennessee, died Thursday morning. He was a veteran. And then my cousin Clara was admitted to Wellington Nursing Home.
So we would lift up Mary and Greg Whited's family as they grieve the death of her first cousin on Thursday, and then the admittance of her other first cousin, Claire, to Wellington Nursing Home.
Yeah.
So we lift you up in prayer. Are there other joys and concerns?
Good morning, PCT. Good morning, United Presbyterian. How are you?
Good morning.
This is Elder Cheryl Morgan Duncan. Reporting that the niece of Elder Davis Miller, her name is Kelly, her grandmother has been hospitalized recently for non-COVID related. However, she's not doing well. So let's lift her up in prayer today and throughout the week.
All right. Thanks.
Also, Elder Davis Miller, her aunt Wanda, there's an update since last week's report. She was taken off life support. She's in hospice at the moment, receiving palliative care. That's all they can do for now. That's what the family decided to do. So again, let's keep her and her family in prayer. And also let's pray for the Jones, the Chenoweth, the artist, and the Gordon family. Their grief is still new, and we need to continue to pray for them. And I have a joy. Amid all this, I have a joy.
Okay.
Elder Deborah Neal and also Elder Mildred Neal. This is a daughter and sister of Elder Neal and sister of Deborah. Her sister Darlene, she's now out of ICU. She is now on a regular floor and she's doing okay. So praise God for that. And there are other concerns that I would report, but it's not worth it. Personal, you know, there's no use in complaining. So let me not even talk about it.
Okay. All right. So we celebrate the good news and we celebrate those who are on the road to recovery. We continue our prayers for those who are moving in the other direction, those who are in hospice care. Are there other concerns we wish to share?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. This is Audrey England. I'm praying for my cousin, Kelly Robinson, and her daughter, Kiani Robinson, who is on dialysis, just praying for her continued strength and encouragement through her treatment. And I'm also praying just for our entire family for continued health and support and worshiping God. So Amen. We thank you. And we want to pray a celebration for you, Pastor Tate. And we just want to celebrate you and your dedication and your love for our family.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. As we lift you up in prayer as well. And, you know, hearing from you, we also remember our teachers, all those who are one behind me and one on screen, and many of those who are in the educational field who are wrestling with, this next couple of weeks as to whether they will go back full into the school setting or whether they will do a combination or hybrid. So we remember our teachers, all those who are dealing with double issues, even as we are in the midst of this pandemic. We would also lift up in prayer Loretta Swartz, or give a prayer, offer a prayer of thanksgiving that her son-in-law, Art Cole, who had quadruple bypass surgery, is being recorded that he's doing well and progressing nicely. So we offer a prayer of celebration for Art Cole, the son-in-law of Loretta Swartz. Are there others who wish to, other elders who wish to share? And I'm also going to invite Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. I know Elder Matthews is online, but if there are others, if there are joys and concerns you wish to share from Indianapolis, we will ask that you do that as well. We have someone else who wishes to share a concern. Go ahead. This is a call.
I would like to celebrate Marin Greg White's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday. You didn't tell us that, Sister Mary. Happy birthday. Other joys and concerns.
Good morning. I would like to just express my gratitude for Elder Elizabeth Adapo and the many others who have shaped the lives spiritually of our youth, for the very wonderful Sunday school that just ended about a week or so ago, that was just such a beautiful year, especially given COVID and everything else we faced. And I would just like to publicly thank them for that.
Amen. We thank you. We join you in that thanksgiving for all those who worked in Christian education. We were looking forward to another drive-by.
Oh, yeah.
Graduation. We tried it. We tried our hand at that. So we've been creative. Thanks to the Christian Education Committee, Elder Adapo being the chair. Are there other joys and concerns to be shared? Again, we invite, is there anyone from Emmanuel Presbyterian who wishes to share a joy or concern? If you're on the phone, you would hit *6. If you are online, you would go to the bottom left of your screen and touch the microphone there. We have heard then our joys and concerns. We come together then in a time of prayer. Let us pray. O God of liberation, who releases the captives, hear our prayer of thanksgiving for the freedom you offer us through your love and mercy. When turbulent waves almost engulfed Christ's disciples, you sent your son Jesus to calm their fear. He walked on the waters, upheld by your hands, and tempered their fright, sustained by your mercy. We recall, Lord, how Peter would walk out to greet him. He would show boldness in the midst of the tempest, only to lose heart when the seas became rough. We know we are like Peter. We give you thanks for your abiding witness. We give you thanks when everything seems to be okay. Then when the rough waters come, Lord, we lose faith. We come this morning thanking you, Lord, for your faithfulness. a faithfulness which testifies to your trust in your people in spite of our doubt. God, we owe our very existence to your pardon, which lets us dwell in your favor. We acknowledge your safekeeping. That is the bedrock of faith. Dear Creator, we confess that there are times when Christ calls us to take perilous journeys, to venture in uncharted territory and to respond to your will. We pray for your presence in those times, that it will sustain us, and we pray for your guidance, that we may not lose heart. Even as our cities teem with people whose lives are in torment, we know we need to stand with them in their trial. Jails and prisons hold countless others whose acts have been judged. We fear for our safety when we are near them, yet they, like us, are dependent on your care and in need of forgiveness. Lord, help us to work for those measures of reform that will bring order and justice to our society. Let us speak on behalf of the defenseless, remembering Christ who intercedes even for us. Oh God, forbid that we should take your freedom for granted, as though we have license to boast. Instead, let freedom release us to serve you with fervor, to show others that boldness which Christ taught on the cross. Gracious God of life and death, we live in both. Lord, we lift up those who are sick and hurting today. We know that your will is to heal, so we pray with confidence for those who are ill and injured. We are mindful of how you made life and you made it to be limited. We acknowledge and recognize that we have a finite amount of time to be on this earth, to be your children, to be kind and loving to all those you created. We have a finite amount of time to live life abundantly for us and for all. Lord, help us to appreciate our days and our living. Hear within us a song of gratitude. Even as we pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Join us wherever you are in the singing of our closing hymn, verses 1, 2, and 4. How clear is our vocation, Lord. This is our closing hymn, but it's also a charge. It's an invitation to each of us to step out of the boat and to be willing to follow our Lord. How clear is our vocation, Lord, when once we to live according to your word and daily learn, refreshed, restored, that you are Lord of all and will not let us fall. Forgive, oh, we should find your yoke is so much to bear. If worldly pressures fray the might and love itself,
cannot abide its same gross stain of fear, our inward life we bear. In what you give us, Lord, to do together or alone. In old meetings of pictures you made, we that seems to love to you across you above.
Let me share with you just a quick little story concerning today's text. A story that's gone around for years about three ministers out fishing together in a small boat. One of them, suddenly realizing that he had left his tackle box on in the cabin, stepped out of the boat, walked on the water over to shore. Just then, the second one said he had forgotten his faithful fishing hat on the front seat of the car. So he too stepped out of the boat and walked on the water over to the shore. When they both returned, the third minister, who had watched this remarkable demonstration with mouth open and eyes wide, reasoned to himself, "My faith is as strong as theirs. I can do that too." So he stepped out of the boat and promptly sank to the bottom. His two companions dragged him out. But once they got him out in the boat, he was determined not to be shown up. So he stepped out once more and immediately sank again. As his friends pulled him out, he sputtered, "My faith is as strong as yours. Why can't I walk on water?" The first two ministers looked at each other, and one finally said, "We better tell him where those rocks are before he drowns himself. We send you forth, reminding you that Jesus is our rock. May Christ, our crucified Savior, draw you to himself so that you may find in him the rock of your salvation, the assurance of sins forgiven, and the gift of eternal life. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Amen." Thank you. Go in peace. We invite you to unmute if you wish and to share a time of fellowship with each other. And those of you who don't have your pajamas on, you can also click on the camera so that we can see you. Time of fellowship.
Happy birthday, Marion, Greg, and Lurleen Gillespie.
Good morning, Sister Gillespie.
Good morning. You look beautiful, Reverend Tate.
Why, thank you kindly. Thank you kindly.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey!
Hey!
We see a face there, Betty Easley. How are you doing? How did you do during this fair during the storm? You're okay?
I am great. Thank you so much for asking. And thank you so much. This was a great sermon today. It was so relevant.
It's good seeing you. Good seeing you. We're anxious when you get back so we can you can take me to lunch.
Okay.
Got to put in my bed some kind of way.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning. How are you? You didn't have to work today.
No, I don't work.
Oh, I thought you. I thought it was men and. It sounded like men and Fredericks.
No, it's Jackie.
Okay, hi.
I hope everyone has their power back.
Yeah, I heard that there were still maybe about 1,000 folks in Teaneck whose power was down.
Oh, no.
So hopefully everybody will be back on by this evening. But some folks in New York are still, they'll be without power until Monday.
Oh, boy.
So is yours back on?
Yes. Went off twice, but it's back.
Okay, good. Good morning, Sister Chang Soon.
Hi, good morning, everyone. How is
everybody? Good morning.
Good morning, birthday, Marion.
Unmute, Marion.
Marion.
1 year old today.
How old?
81.
81.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
God bless.
God bless you.
Yes. She was 45.
Happy birthday, Deacon Moderator.
Did you hear Melvin England said he thought you were 44?
No.
So you're getting to the point where your birthday cake is going to collapse from the weight of the candles, but that's okay. You didn't hear me say that.
No okay.
You look great, Marion.
Thank you.
Yes, you
do. Yes. Thank you again, Pastor, for a wonderful service.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. So
absolutely.
We are glad that, again, some of the members of Emmanuel Presbyterian Church were able to join us this morning. And so more of them will be joining us perhaps in the future by phone.
Right there. See it right there?
Just click. Oh, hello there, Sister Brown. Yes, we see you. Ethel Brown, we see you. We're going to be in the church for a few more minutes, but brothers and sisters, church will be meeting this afternoon because they're planning to start up again in next Saturday. So if you need to come over to the church for anything, know that they'll be having their worship service next Saturday in Hughes Hall. And JVC is looking forward to trying to start up. They have been having virtual services, but they were looking to try to start up at 11 o'clock. So we'll be working with them to see what they can do.
Okay.
All those of you who are on session, we'll send you a note as to when we're going to have our session meeting. But we do have two meetings next week. The first one is the worship committee on Tuesday and then the nominating committee on Wednesday. Here at the church at Hughes Hall, we ask that you bring your mask, and there will be social distancing. So we'll be meeting in Hughes Hall.
Thank you for the service today, Pastor Tate.
Ma'am?
Thank you for the lovely service today.
Well, thank
you. Hello there, Kathy Wahlberg.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
How are you? And happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yes, many, many more. How are you feeling?
Oh, coming along.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You look good.
Thank you.
Yes.
All we can do is take one day at a time.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay. There
you go. Okay, well, we will start. Well, we'll start closing down. As you see, Heather Bennett is packing up, getting ready to run out and leave me alone. But anyway, okay, so you all take care and have
you also pass the tape.
Have a
good day. And a good be prepared because it's supposed to start heating up a little bit more next week.
Yeah.
And so next Sunday, Blaine Shaw will be our organist. And so we'll look forward to having Brother Blaine with us.
Oh, okay.
Blaine.
Okay.
All right, everybody, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Hi, Ethel Brown.
Hi, where are you? How you doing?
Yes, we see you. Okay.